Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Westside Visions on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Brother Tony Bullock, and you have reached Westside Visions. And I do want to thank you for stopping in tonight. As I've said once before, I always appreciate the fact that many of you listen to the show, download the show, take your time to stop in to see what's going on. Now, normally, you guys know I keep you up on what's going on with the latest and the greatest, but today, we're kind of going to do a show on football. And tonight's show is not going to be a long one because I do have some other concerns that I have to take care of tonight, but I thought I'd stop by. We'll talk about a football for a little bit, and then we'll call it a night and do a show on Friday. So with that said, we're going to get started out and do what we do. First and foremost, let me give a shout out to my folks over at Free AME at 806 Collins here in Fresno, California. Now, on January 15th, I do believe they're going to have, or is it the 16th, they're going to have a program called Taking Back the Revolutionary Dr. King. And as you know, people always show you the Dr. King that talks about the mountaintop and led the boycotts and originate the Poor People's Campaign. But there was another side to Dr. King, and he did have a revolutionary side. But this program is going to be a program based on the revolutionary Dr. King, and how would he look at what's happening with the people of Gaza? How would he take that? Well, I would like to think that Dr. King would look at that and think, as he did, that there's something that both sides can do to repair it. I look at these folks who are protesting, and I do not like what they are doing. I do not appreciate the fact that they went into Mother Emanuel the other day, a place where 9 black folks had lost their lives and decided they were going to protest and terrorize people who had already been through white terrorism. And that's where I'm going to leave that. So tonight, as I said, we were going to talk about football, and that we are going to do, because as we all know here in America, the playoffs are among us, and getting ready to step into the realm of the NFL playoffs will be the Kansas City Chiefs, the Miami Dolphins, Green Bay Packers, the Dallas Cowboys, out of the dog pound, we've got the Cleveland Browns making the playoffs this year, are the Houston Texans. The Philadelphia Eagles will limp into the playoffs. Tampa Bay Buccaneers will step in. The Steelers somehow crept into the playoffs. The Bills ran their way into the playoffs. The Rams, Detroit, they're there. And, of course, San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. Both of those teams having buys this week. They get to sit back, watch everybody else play, get their players healed up, ready to go next week. And I'm going to be honest, watching some of the games Sunday, a lot of things didn't fall the way many people thought they would, because a lot of people thought Jacksonville would get in. They didn't. They fell by the wayside, and a lot of people thought that they would be one of those teams to win their crown and be right there, but They did not. They did not win their division, and they are sitting at home getting ready to be spectators. So, you know, with the lineup that we have coming up this weekend on wild card games, Dolphins got to go into KC. It's going to be rather cold. Not only that, any Dolphins play a team outside of the confines of Miami, Florida, they tend to kind of not have such a super great game. And then you throw the weather factor in there. It's going to be cold in KC. It's going to be, I mean, seriously cold. They're expecting it to be in the low 40s, maybe even the 30s. And even though the players in Kansas City have issue with that weather, I think they're a little more equipped for it. Them boys coming out of Florida, I don't think the boys from South Beach are really going to be able to withstand that cold in Miami. I mean, in Kansas City, and they're going to have problems. I don't think you're going to see a lot of that quickness. I don't think you're going to see a lot of that explosiveness. Everybody wants to talk about Tyreek Hill, the Cheetah, going back home and what he may do to Kansas City. I think the Cheetah is going to slow down a bit because they're going to be worried about trying to stay warm and take care of that ball. Me personally, I don't call games. This team's going to win. That team's going to win. I've gotten to the point now I just sit back and hope to see a good game. That's all I would like to see. I would like to see Kansas City win. If they do, cool. If they don't, cool. Because I really think any team in the playoffs this time is only going to go as far as your quarterback, defense, and receivers are going to take you. We got Green Bay and Dallas coming up. A lot of people say Mike McCarthy should be feeling some kind of way because he's playing against his old team. I don't think so. At this point, I really think Mike McCarthy needs to really put down a really good game to secure his job as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys right now. Dak Prescott has stepped up and played very well down the stretch for the Dallas Cowboys. Him and CeeDee Lamb have hooked up and made some spectacular plays. Tony Pollard has been running the ball a lot more steady. And that defense in the last three or four games have played lights out. So you have to give them their props. And in that game, Dallas against Green Bay, I really expect the veterans over in Dallas to carry that team further than the youngsters over at Green Bay, even though Jordan Love and Watson and those boys have been playing some serious ball. I just think Dallas right now would be the team that's going to win because they're used to being in that position. But, hey, this is why they play the game. Anything can happen on any given Sunday. Cleveland and Texas. Here's a game where, you know, I can't call it. It's going to be one of those games. May the best team win. I think whoever has the ball last will win. C.J. Stroud, you have to give this young man his props. C.J. Stroud with that group of young receivers and defense that's playing real hard and running backs who are giving it their best. I'm never shocked when I see these young guys come out. And this past Sunday, C.J. Stroud, he took them to the promised land. He got them into the playoffs, which is a you know, I can't be happier for those guys because, you know, this is a team everybody was looking at. And D'Amico Ryan, he definitely got them boys playing ball. So, yes, I got to give them their props. Philly and Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers and the Eagles both are struggling to a certain extent. So, hey, let's get at it. That's going to be one of those flip it. The Steelers and the Bills, expect the Bills to come out on top because Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and the crew are playing lights out. Rams at Detroit, another game. Matt Stafford. And going back to Detroit, I'm going to tell you, you know, Detroit's playing ball, and they're playing tough ball. So, hey, it could go either way. Now, as you guys know, this was Black Monday, and Black Monday, you've seen coaches getting fired left and right. One minute, you had coaches who had a team. Next minute, you had coaches who did not have a team. And the last coach to get fired was Mike Vrabel. He got fired. Titans let him go, even though they won Saturday. I mean, one Sunday, he was shown the door. And he had been there six seasons, but the last two seasons, you know, they had been losing. So I do believe that after that, they sat back and said, well, I think we've gone as far as we can go with him. And that was that. He was shut the door. But Ron Rivera also, head coach of the Washington Commanders, formerly known as the Redskins, he was shown the door, and I'm going to be honest, I kind of knew that that was going. You know, he had been their head coach, you know, for 4 years. He went 4-13 this season, and this was the second time that he had been fired as the head coach with a team under new ownership because, you know, when he was the head coach at Carolina, he had been there and in from 2011, and then he was let go in 2019. When the new owner, David Tepper, came in. Vrabel will definitely find a job. Somebody will definitely pick Mike Vrabel up. He may not be a head coach, but he will more than likely be someone's coordinator. And with these openings, who knows? Maybe some more black men will get jobs as head coaches. Because as you know right now, D'Amico Ryan, Mike Tomlin, and Todd Bowles are the only three black head coaches in the NFL. And, you know, the thing about that is, once upon a time, we had Romeo Crennel. He was a coach. Lovie Smith was a coach. Tony Dungy, who won a championship with the Indianapolis Colts, was a coach. Marvin Lewis was a coach. So we had a fair share of black coaches in the NFL. And, you know, Fritz Pollard was the first black coach to ever coach a team in the NFL. And that was in 1928. You know, so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? So this was just a little short thing tonight. We all know that in the NFL, things go a little bit deeper, so who knows how much further it would go. Be back this Friday with a much longer show, but I just wanted to come on tonight, talk a little bit about some football, get a show out there, let folks know that West Side Visions is still on, even though we have had problems in the past, and that had nothing to do with me coming on talking. That had to do with what was going on over at Blog Talk, and hopefully that will be situated and taken care of to where those of us who come on and put out information will not have our shows interrupted, will not have our shows not being able to get on, but we can talk to the masses. So I'm going to tell you what I always tell you, each one reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range, get them trained up. Get them ready because in this year, 2024 November, we're going to the polls to vote. We got to fight for democracy. And as you can see by the way blacks are being attacked and things are happening, caller, you're on the line. Hello.
Hello there, my brother.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Good, sir.
How's it going?
Listening to your statistics, my Raiders didn't make it, but It's always next year.
Hey, I say that all the time. Hey, you know, I'm born and raised a Raiders fan, and I've been a Raiders fan since the 70s. And every once in a while, you know, we fall to the wayside. But I do appreciate you calling in, man. I really, really appreciate it. I was going to have a short show tonight, but I did put out there that the fact that we're going to do the Revolutionary Dr. King. What date is that again, Pastor?
Yeah, it's going to be next Monday. Over at my place. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, it's going to be next Monday over at my place at 806 Collins, right there on the Golden West Side of Fresno, down the street from Edison High School, catter corner from Frank A's Ballpark. And there's a lot going on right now across the world, and especially here in Fresno. You know, the war is going on, and gentrification going on. And,
right.
You know, and I'm tired of dealing with this city of crawdads. Fresno has taken our brother, Dr. King, and turned him into some type of marshmallow, and really not talking about the revolutionary side of him and really educating our people. I think, you know, may he rest in peace, Les Kimber was the one who initially started the MLK celebration and march in Fresno. And then back in the day, I don't know if you remember or not, but we used to have a Human Relations Commission.
Yes, we did.
Which was a commission that was in between community and government. And so, you know, again, you know, when the community starts gaining power and influence in the community, I believe it was former Mayor Alan Autry, he dismantled the Human Relations Commission. And, you know, everything just went downhill. And now, you know, something that was created for the community, by the community, by our very own, may rest in peace, Les Kimber, the city politicians have taken it over. They've hijacked it. And,
Right. You
know, the message that our revolutionary brother, Dr. King, had wasn't just about we shall overcome. It wasn't just about singing. And what really makes matters worse here in Mississippi, Fresno, is that, you know, every year, the politicians are in the front of the line and everybody else is in the back of the line. And, you know, they have the nerves to hold his picture and his banner. And when we look at the conditions of black people, the conditions of our community, conditions of West Fresno, conditions of Fresno, period, you know, we Dr. King is rolling over in his grave. You know, when if Dr. King was here today, he wouldn't be standing up there with politicians here in Fresno. He'll be denouncing them, saying, "How dare you take my legacy, take my name, and don't do for the people." You know, West Fresno has always had this rendering plant that cooked dead animals every day here. Been in since 1940s, still operating today, illegally, without a use conditional permit. And it's like, who cares, you know? West Fresno has the only park that has a, you probably remember this, Brother Tony, Floyd H. Park, which was one of the former mayors of Fresno. They built a landfill.
High Park,
4,000 or 5,000 batteries buried behind it. And so, you know, we still dealing with the symptoms that Dr. King fought and stood for us. He came to Fresno, I believe it was in 65, if I'm not mistaken. I know it was the 60s. And, you know, he's saying, hey, you know, do the people right, you know. But yet we have the good old boy system. We have that old money still floating around. We still have the farmers here still running everything. West Fresno looked the same way that it did 40 years ago. you know.
Right.
Vacant
and
fields.
A lot of that happened because Fresno redevelopment came in, destroying homes, destroying businesses, and nobody stood up. And, you know, I want to ask you this, Rev. I really do want to ask you this. We're talking about the revolutionary Dr. King. Now, this Sunday, and I'm going to tell you, I was heated. These folks who claim they're protesting for Palestine decided to take their behinds in the Mother Emanuel Church and start a protest in a church where 9 black folks had lost their lives to Dylan Roof. You want to go in there protesting.
That.
You want to go in protesting, terrorizing because the president's speaking there, but you want folks, black folks, to stand up for Palestine. And the problem I have is these very people who are doing this, you don't see them standing out there for us. You don't see them speaking on nothing that has to do with us. But yet, they want to say blood is on our hands because we're not rolling over accepting going on over in Israel and Palestine. Now, true, I'm going to tell you honestly, I feel for them, but I'm going to stand for mine first. I'm standing for mine first. There's dirt being done on both sides, but you don't go into a black church playing stupid games.
Yeah, I was driving today, and I was listening. I said, that was the same church that the little Caucasian kid went in and shot up the pastor and all the members, and because it was a progressive ministry church, and I believe the young man sat there for about 4 or 5 hours doing Bible study.
Yes,
and
he did.
Pull out the gun, started shooting, and then after, to make matters worse, the police come. Instead of throwing his behind on the ground like they do us, handcuff him, they take him to Burger King to go get him a hamburger.
Exactly.
I mean, it makes my head hurt to continue to watch. You know, I preached on a little bit this on Sunday at my church, and I told the people, I said, you know, it's not even 60 years ago when Dr. King had negotiated with Lyndon Johnson for us to have the right to vote. And I said, every 25 years, it has to be voted on by Congress. I said,
exactly.
But yet, we're the people who built this country. We're the people who fought in the Civil War. We're the people who still, you know, making this thing run, but yet we're still treated like second-class citizens here in the 21st century. And so, you know, time is out, you know, and you know, we are going to have to learn how to stand, regardless if anyone stand with us or not. We have to stand as black men, black women, you know, like our ancestors did, you know, and, you know, putting our nest egg with Biden and Kamala Harris and all this stuff. Listen, we got to do for ourselves to be a slave, and like I said, you know, we're inviting everybody out to come on the 15th from 2 to 4. I'm going to open it up for real direct speech because I'm tired, Fannie Lou Hamer. I'm tired, being sick and tired of looking and dealing with this crap, this cow manure that we're dealing with each and every day here in America. And, you know, I told someone the other day, Brother Tony, that we got to stop being entertainers for this country. I understand we love basketball. I get all that. But it comes a point when Kaepernick took that knee. He took it for his ancestors, for the children who wasn't even alive. He took it for us that's here today. But look what happened to him. He got castrated in front of the world because he stood for something. And that's what I'm telling the people today, especially at my ministry, that you better get out of tradition real quick because tradition is going to kill you. It's going to kill you. And understand.
Well, you know, I say that all the time. You know I do. And Pastor, I'm going to say this honestly. Now, you know me and you walk the same path. Yes, support sir. Everything that go on over at Free AME.
Right.
And just because y'all don't see my face, don't mean I ain't got your back. I say it now, and I've said it then.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Now,
oh, yeah.
You know, I'm very outspoken when it comes to 806 Collins. And
yes, sir.
I'm like you. I have a problem not only with politicians, but with my own so-called skin folk who have taken
right.
Dr. King's birthday and sold out. Let's take it to River Park.
Right.
They let me raise the flag, so let me roll with them. Instead of you building it up on the west side somewhere, and I ain't going to mention no names, but you know who you are. Everything y'all want to run out there and do and take and homogenize MLK's birthday instead of building it up for your own people, you're wrong for that.
Right.
Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No. That's perfectly okay. I just felt led. I wrote an article about 2006, and then I wrote a rebuttal. I think 10 years later, I'm getting ready to write another rebuttal here in regards to how politicians are toying with Black history here in Fresno, Mississippi, Fresno. And, you know, it just comes a time when you get tired of the bull crap, you know? And, you know, our liberation as a people is in our unity. Our unity. But, you know, through history, through Jim Crow, through Black codes, through the Willie Lynch, which I'll be preaching on next month, through all that stuff has really caused a lot of trauma with our people. And it seems like our people today rather work with other ethnics than to work with our own people. And
exactly.
I'm not saying it's like that all over the world. I'm just talking about here in Fresno. Because everybody
right.
knows, Brother Tony, that I'm the only civil rights leader in the Valley. Someone asked me the other day, they said, Rev. Harris, how come the MLK committee, out of all these years, never has recognized you and your community and all the work that you do? And just, you know, how come they never let you come and speak? And I told him, I said, well, I'm not a script reader, number one. And I said, number two, they feel I'm anti-police. And I said, you have to understand the police, the mayor office, you know, the city council, all them run the MLK stuff that goes there. I said, but we're giving an alternative, reclaiming the revolutionary Dr. Martin Luther King so that our children have to understand that King did not march just to get exercise. He did not march to burn calories. Dr. King marched for a purpose and a reason. Dr. King marched because he understood the poor people's campaign. Dr. King marched because he understood police brutality. Dr. King marched because he understands the schools, the prison pipeline. Dr. King understood how people was being living in poverty in Chicago and Atlanta with rats and things like that running through their house. Dr. King, he's seen all of that. But what has happened today is that these Negroes today that's marching in the street talking about let's have festivals and have a big old party. None of them will march with Dr. King today because the government will call Dr. King a communist and a terrorist, and they will stand 1,000 feet away from Dr. King. And so it's just time out that we stop allowing people to control the narrative of our brother. It's time that we step up as progressive men blessing black women and call a spade a spade. It starts building our own liberation, our own unity, our own. Listen, every other culture is doing it. Every other culture is doing it, and they won't even apologize for it. But
no,
we want to do something, we got to be for everybody. Well, everybody ain't for us.
And everybody know. It's funny you say that, because not too long ago here in Fresno, city council got together and they gave this one, they built a park for this one group, gave them a whole lot of money. And I was like, wow. And did it on the west side. I was like, okay. So why is it that whenever we are trying to get something done on the west side, they have to have a big study committee. They have to see if it's going to be cost worthy. They have to see if it's going to affect not only us, but the other people in the community. But yet, for anyone else, oh, sure, here you go. Here's some money. Here's a park. Here's a building. Knock yourselves out. I'm glad you brought it up like that, Will, because that's what's happening.
Yeah. And like I said, dropping names and all, everybody know who they are. And I just want people, like I said, I just want to invite people to our place. We'll have finger food, we'll have a panelist, we'll have a Q&A session. And I'm going to tell you this, Brother Tony, I told my congregation, I told my children and all those that's close to me. When the Lord calls me home, I want to make sure that there are zero proclamations at my home going.
Right.
I want to make sure that there's no politician coming in grandstanding talking about how they work with me and all that type of stuff. I don't want no awards. I don't want none of that. Because if you can't give it to us now, can smell it, hold it, and touch it, and teach our young people about, what it's for, I don't want it, because as far as I'm concerned, it's just really a bunch of toilet paper anyway. Because if you cannot do right by our people, if you can't do right with quality, if you can't do right by shutting down rendering plants that's cooking dead animals, if you can't do right by making sure that our little kids are not patted on the head at 5 and shot in the back at 15 by our police, if you can't do right by all of that, stop gentrification in West Fresno that's buying up land and moving poor people out of their houses with nowhere to go. If you can't do right, then leave us alone.
Exactly.
Leave us alone. And that's where we at, Brother Tony. And so, I'm excited about it. We have many, many groups that's supporting this. We've been hitting Facebook, getting the word out, word of mouth, passing out flyers. And we just want to make sure that when the people come, we honor Dr. King. We honor him for all the work that he has done. But we have to understand that it's more than getting an award. His life is more than getting an award. We have to put boots on the ground. We have to go to city council, board of supervisors. We have to continue the work of changing bad policy into good policy. That's where we at today. And if that's not what we're about today, that we deserve what comes to us.
You're absolutely right.
We deserve what the enemy comes to take our stuff. But, it's just like the Black Panther Party. They stood for what they believed in.
Yes, indeed.
And we don't have the people today that's willing to stand and die for what they believe in. No, we have a people who just want to go along and get along and be patted on the head by politicians downtown, right? And when the day is over, when everybody pictures and eating chicken and watermelon and all that stuff that they're doing, It's business as usual the next day. The hell with Dr. King. We'll see you next year. And that's not what we're about. That's not what we're about. We have to be about liberation 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 60 seconds on the minute. That's real true liberation. And so, again, we just want to invite everybody January 15th from 2 to 4. You can get there early if you want to. Network, we'll have folks tabling. We'll have some finger food and a great pound. And like I said, I'm going to open it up. I'm going to come raw. I'm going to come straight, and I'm going to come hard because that's what we need. Our people, our community today don't need no milk toast, marshmallow conversation, preaching and teaching. They
no,
need
we don't.
Real revolutionary talk. Real talk. That we can wake up our people. Because right now, everything is being taken away from us. Everything being taken away from us. And so, you know, just want to thank you, brother, for allowing me the time to come on your show. We appreciate your show. I'll be coming on in more. We hope that you come, my brother. Matter of fact, I'm going to make sure you're there because I'm going to come pick you up myself. And,
I appreciate that.
Lord,
thank
Lord
you very
willing.
Much.
And, you know, hopefully you can run the show, you know, live,
sure
you know, right there, you know. And
you know,
interview folks there. And like I said, we just want to reclaim the real revolutionary king, you know, and all this stuff the city of Fresno doing. Like I said, I'm not picking on nobody. You know, everybody have a right to do what they want to do. But, you know, I have a right to do what I want to do. And the people
exactly.
I want to make sure my children, kids of my freedom school, my grandchildren, that they see their grandpa, see their leader, step up and speak out, you know, because like I said, when this is over with, on the 15th, the big
yes,
question
sir.
Is what happens on the 16th.
What happens
so like
on
I
the
said,
16th?
That's absolutely right. So I'm gonna go ahead and yield to you, brother. Thank you again. We love you.
Hey.
We do have some other events coming up at Free AME. I believe on the 27th, we have. Let me just see here real quick. Give that to you and get right back to you. On the 27th, we have. Let's see where to go here. Let me do Minister Crystal's. So Minister Crystal, my testimony IED present Matters of the Heart, second annual Women's Luncheon, Free ME Ministries, 806 Collins, February 10th from 1 to 4. 1 to 4. And the tickets are $10, $60 per table. There'll be food, raffle, guest speakers, different organizations. This was a really powerful event last year. I was there. People loved it. It was just everything was done first class, the food, the entertainment, the speakers, and everyone. And so we just want to make sure we invite everyone out to come and be part of this. I mean, this is your community. You know, we want you to be part of your community. We want you to help us plan events. You know, I got Hidden Colors 1 through 5. I'm going to be showing those documentaries here next month for Black History Month. And, you know, we're just doing a lot of good things over at FAME. And we have a lot of great people. We have people joining our ministry left and right because they want to be part of something, you know. A legacy, you know, to help us build and take this to another level. Right. We also have another event called Taking My Life Back, Mind, Body, and Soul Winter Conference. Date, January 27th, 24, 806 Collins from 4. Donation is $20. And so we just ask you to come out and support that as well. All this information is on my Facebook. I've been trying to post it in different places. I'll make sure I get it to you, Brother Tony, as well, so that you have it, you know, in your at your disposal.
And then all right.
We're also having a men's African American men's youth conference, men and youth conference, and I believe that's on the 27th of February. So we got a lot going down. February 24th, I'm sorry, from 12 to 3. And so we have Kayende and some different people that's going to be there speaking. So I'm going to pick you up on that day too, brother. So,
all right. Hey, you know me. And you gonna have my teacher there, Mr. Kayende? Oh, yeah, you know I'm down for that.
All right, sir. We're going to say goodnight to you, and we'll be chiming in on Friday.
Pastor, I always appreciate you stopping in, man, because, you know, the bottom line is this. There are very few brothers who left out there that I can look at and honestly say, that's a man I can stand back-to-back with and know he got my back. We ain't got too many left. And, you know, whenever, I've told you this time and time again, whenever you come through, you know you allowed to, there is an open mic for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right,
much.
My brother, stay strong. Keep the faith. And we're going to keep doing what we do over at 806 Collins at Free AME.
All right, sir. Thank you.
All right, my brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the Dr. Reverend Floyd Harris. I really appreciate him. And, yes, that will be January 15th, the Revolutionary Dr. King from 2 to 4. We will be taking it back. So I appreciate Blog Talk for allowing me to stay on and get this taken care of because I forgot to put the correct time in, but they allowed me to finish up the show. And as I said, each one reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range, get them ready. Let's get ready, y'all, because a new day is coming, and we're going to make sure that it do. So until this Friday, y'all stay safe. I'll holler.